Let's give the Lord a hand of praise for Pastor Sam and Pastor Kurt. You know, God has done great works in their lives, and you know, I'm watching Sam even go into higher levels. And lately, his life has been changing, and he's been coming and soaking at the feet of God, and he's really coming to a much higher level of hunger and urgency of having his life changed. And that's what it really is all about. You know, we're speaking to hundreds, thousands. I've gotten some of the report on our internet, and just normally we were averaging about 300 people a month. We're now averaging 1,300 people a month. Isn't that awesome? Did you hear that? We were averaging 300 people a month. Now we're averaging 1,300 people a month. Amen? Amen. Let's give the Lord a greater hand of praise for that one. And that was just within a year. That's just a year growth. And we're continuing to grow more and more. Rachel has been faithfully on top of the stats. Your support on liking some of the Facebook pages and stuff like that has helped tremendous. So keep clicking, keep clicking, keep clicking. The world is starting to realize that they need a change. They are beginning to realize that there is a message out there of love and truth and not religion. I truly believe the world has come to a place where they're starting to realize that religion in itself tends to be corrupt and political and not really beneficial to our spirits, and they're shying away from it, and they're just wandering around looking for truth. It's really scripture being fulfilled in the last days, where God says that he's going to scatter the sheep and create new pasture and lead the sheep into the new pasture. And I truly believe we're at that crest. Now, this may happen at every end of an age. Biblical prophecy could manifest itself many, many, many times. So every age, at the end of an age and a beginning of a new age, I believe prophecy that is written reoccurs. And so we're just entering into another age. And how many of us heard prophecy over and over and over before? You might have reached or lived two ages. But truly, prophecy is being fulfilled. And we are entering into a new age. And I would encourage our listeners to continue to listen and even go back several years and hear about the prophecies that were spoken in this place, just about what is coming up to our future. And I have a strong urgency that because of what is transpiring, we are being called to be transformed into a greater image of God, to be reborn, not the old version of being born again or accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, but something that's far beyond. I know that my life was called and brought up into that place, and I met the supernatural and I met the Spirit of Jesus, and he spoke and said, go down and tell them about my Father. And I'm beginning to start to realize, because of the age that we're living in and a tremendous amount of division around the world, that it's the prophets that are dividing the love and the unity of the world. And it's not God or the truth, but it's the prophets. And Jesus was a prophet who has transformed his life to become a son of God. And God has called us to bring a message to show us how to be transformed into a son or a daughter of God. And so that we know that we are called children of God, not called as a Christian or called as a Buddhist or called as a Muslim or Jew, Judaism, but to be called a child of God. How many people are understanding where I'm coming from? You know, it's not, you could take the labels of character, of tradition, and you can just like put them on the shelf. If you like the traditions of the practice religion that you're in, wonderful. I mean, everybody likes tradition. Amen. I mean, come on. How many people don't like Christmas and Easter and New Year's and, you know, all the other traditions that go along with it? Even just the traditions of prayer and lighting candles for candle visuals and things of that nature. I enjoy, you know, some of the traditions of these cultures and religions. But at the same time, my primary focus is being transformed into that image, being transformed and reborn so that my spirit lives forever. You know, there's a part of us that's going to die, and then there's a part of us that is going to live. And I hope that when we do meet that day of judgment, that the part is 100% eternal, and that we don't have a portion of death in us. You know, the Bible talks about cutting off your arm. It's better to go in, you know, lame, you know, in the kingdom of God than, you know, having some part of eternal death in us. Moving forward, I truly believe deep in my heart, every word that proceeds out of this place is prophecy of God. It's now. It's what God is saying in this time. It's for us right now. And he is calling us in a transformation. Before I start with my message, I want to call John up because John had epiphany. And I want the world to hear your epiphany, you know? And it's very important to understand revelation. It's very important to understand an awakening and to be awakened. You know, what hurts my heart is things that we can't change. And we mourn over things that we can't change. How many people understand that? It is very, very difficult for me to see someone suffer because of lack of knowledge. It's like if you only knew the truth, you wouldn't be hurting so bad. You're holding on to something that is just hurting you. And why do you like inflicting pain on yourself? All you got to do is just renew your thoughts and understand the truth, and you'll be free from the pain and the suffering. And so I want to just pass this over for John, because I believe that we testify, you know, the goodness and the glory for God. And as we testify, I truly believe those testimonies come back to us in a blessing. So don't ever hold back your testimonies. If God does something or awakens you, shout from the mountaintops, because your reward is given into the heavenlies. If, you know, because God wants to be known as his testimony. So let's give the Lord a hand of praise for John.
What a message by Sam.
Amen. Let's give him another hand.
8 years ago, a little bit over 8 years ago, I was drawn to this place. I don't think a freight train would have stopped me from coming here on one particular day. So I needed to be here. I needed to be here today. I was kind of drawn here today. I was drawn here for many different reasons. And seeing, and hearing Sam's message today, confirms that why I needed to be here today. I like routines. I like patterns. It makes me feel good. I know what to expect every day. I'll admit it. But God's been kicking me in the pants for the last 6 months because my patterns and my routines have been broken, and I don't like it. I enjoy my patterns and my routines. So we talk about changing the way we're thinking. He's forcing me to change the way I think. So I had this, so thank you, Sam. I really needed to hear that. I had this, I've been spending a lot of time by myself thinking, reflecting, trying to figure out what's wrong with me. God showed me a few things. Sometimes he puts us through these things to awaken us, to draw us closer to Him, because we get into these patterns and these routines. So it's like kind of all connected. So my quick message today, and I'm not a long-winded person, but I love my life too much. I really do. Think about it. My kids are almost all grown, and I've checked out as a parent. Really, I have. I'm done. I had four of them, a couple marriages, a lot of money, a lot of stuff taken away. I'm done. Now I'm going out and having fun. A lot. But I love it too much. There's a problem when you love your life too much. It brings on fear. That's a big problem. So God showed me that because I love this life too much, that He's brought on fear. You know, and I have a lot of fear that I don't want to lose it. I'm having too much fun. So He showed me. Jesus said, if you love your life, you're going to lose it. If you lose your life, you're going to gain one. And a lot of these things that I fear are things being taken away from me. And a very good friend of mine told me years ago, if God gave them to you, He wouldn't take them away. I haven't forgot that. And as many times as those, my children, have been tried to be taken away from me over the years, God wouldn't allow it. God constantly tells me, look what I've done for you. Look what I've done for you. Why do you fear? If I've given this to you, why would I take it away? And then what follows along with that is, if you're so in love with your life and you're afraid to lose it, if I've given you these things, and I've given you so much little, and God and Jesus said this too, if I've given you little, how are you supposed to handle a lot? So I was driving down the turnpike last night. These things came to me, and I said, I'm going to service, and I got to share this. So kind of remember that. I hope you get something out of it. Back to you.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. You know, I like when God changes the hearts of us. When He gives us that epiphany to begin to really be awakened and realize, look, fear is not good. No one wants to live in fear. And He loves His life so much that He realizes that if He continues to love it, and He loves it more than He loves God, that's when He'll lose it. But if he loves God and puts God first and then just thanks Him for the life that it was given to him, but honor God through all things, then God will continue to keep your life and you won't lose it. And this is what our listeners need to understand. Those that are here, we need to grab hold of this truth so that, you know, we can begin to go through the fire and not get burned. You know, when we can begin to go through the troubled waters and not drown and, you know, and have them over submerge our heads, we need to begin to realize the truth. And that truth is what begins to set us free. There is nothing more to be free. And so moving forward, part of the message that I have for today is we've been talking about the pearl of peace. And how important it is to protect this pearl. And then I was speaking about reassuring us or even getting to ask ourselves, are we a child of God? Do we know for a fact that we are a child of God? And how do you know if you're a child of God? What is it that leads you to believe that you're a child of God? Now, as far as John and his testimony, if he loves his life more than he loves God, you have to ask yourself, is he a child of God? But if he takes the commandment that has been given to us, love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. If you do that and you fulfill that greatest commandment, would you consider yourself a child of God? I would. That would be a stepping stone. Like, where is your heart? Where is your thoughts? Where are you throughout the day? Are you putting your thoughts in Him, or are you worried about your life? You know, the Bible speaks about not to worry about our lives. Now, you can be concerned. It's the nature of who we are. You know, I'm concerned for my children. I'm concerned for my, you know, future. I'm concerned of holding on and keeping the things God has given me. I'm concerned about people and relationships. Of course, it's natural. But then you got to look at the power of worry, fear. When worry and fear overtake you and you start getting troubled, I'm going to tell you right now, you are not a child of God. You have entered out of the kingdom of God. And if we can take hold of some of these principles, some of these important principles, and apply them and be aware of them always in our lives, you're going to keep yourself into the kingdom of God. And what happens is you overcome them. And you, when you overcome, God says, I'm going to grant you a seat next to me. That's even more of a reassurance to overcome these circumstances. I believe in my life, worry and fear still seem to try to attack me. Okay? And I've looked at myself and I put myself in a place of, let's say, you know, you measure yourself. How many of us tend to measure themselves, okay, to see what type of character or caliber you are? Now, the last thing I want to do is I want to give my life over to God and say, okay, I'm going to give my life over to you, and I'm going to put my whole entire life in your hands. That's faith, everything. Everything I got is going in your hands. And I'm going to, you know, make a point to proclaim your word. Anything you lay on my heart as I seek you, I'm going to proclaim it. But then become a hypocrite. Not allow these things to work in my life. And then next minute you know, I'm speaking one thing out of my mouth, and then inside, I am nothing more than a hypocrite. I'm troubled, I'm a mess, I'm worried. The things that are coming out of my mouth or whatever are just, you know, not allowing God to rule and reign in my life. I mean, if I'm a child of God, then He's going to fight my enemies. If I'm a child of God, I shouldn't walk around complaining. Like if you've heard Sam's message, I mean, about complaining. I truly believe complaining and murmuring and not rejoicing in all things is probably the greatest curse in your life. How many of us tend to murmur? Or mourn. Just mourning alone over something that is not there. You have to ask yourself. You can't do anything about it. You can't change circumstance. So why is that deep-seated root of mourn in your heart? And those things we have to be free of. How many of us here really want to live a free life? A blessed life. It's like anything you touch turns to gold. Everything that you walk into or relationships that you build, everything that is drawn close to you, for one reason or another, is favor in your life. How many of us would like to have that? Okay. Well, God wants to bring that into our lives. God wants to bring favor into our lives. God wants to be able to do these things into our lives. But at the same time, how many of us understand law? Okay. If you break the law, there are penalties, right? Unless you're in a position where you're above the law. But I don't think any of us are above the kingdom law. And there are kingdom laws and kingdom principles that we have to come under. Don't think that you can break laws and don't expect consequences. You can't break the laws of heaven, especially when he calls you. And I look around and I look at our listeners, and to go from an average of 300 listeners a month, up to 60 a day. We were averaging 30 new visitors, or 300 new visitors a month, and now we're up to 1,300 new visitors a month. And so I just am very grateful for what God is doing out there. But the world is beginning to understand that there are responsibilities and laws that we have to come under and abide in the heavenlies. We are spirits. And if you think otherwise, we're fooled. We are spirits. We are walking spirits. Literally, you know, your body's going to drop. So without the Spirit, you have no function. You have no life. And to even change the way our thinking right there alone should quicken us and realize that we have to abide by spiritual things. And if we don't abide by spiritual things, and we take ignorance and apply ignorance in our lives, and we are conformed to the nature of, I would say, carnality, nature which some look at as the sin nature, bad habits, murmuring, complaining, worrying and fearing. It seems like we're born in that. How many people understand that one? It's like no one had to teach you how to worry. No one had to teach you how to fear. No one had to teach you how to complain. It looks like through life and the patterns of life, everybody had to teach you not to fear. Everybody had to teach you not to worry. Everything's going to be okay. Don't worry. And you follow where I'm coming from? So obviously we were born in a nature that was conformed where we didn't have to be taught as worry and fear and anxiety and, you know, all those other things. Our job is to learn spirit. Our job is to understand what we're made up of. And we're not made up of the carnal mentality of life. We are made up of the eternal thoughts and patterns of life. And there are laws in heaven that we have to abide by. And if you heard earlier, one of them is complaining. One of them is getting into your heart and believing that we deserve something more than what we have. Not being grateful for the things that we do have and looking for other things. Murmuring and complaining about things that can't be changed or losses. How many of us made some losses in their lives? Let's say business losses. They're the most common. I think we all make business loss mistakes, right? How many of us seemed that they were mistakes, did certain things that we felt that were a mistake, maybe invested in certain things that we thought was a mistake, and then we harbor that in our heart? How about when we do things like, how about marriages? How about loved ones? How about when we put, you know, we made a commitment in someone's life and the relationship didn't work, and all of a sudden we end up getting divorced, and throughout our lives all we're doing is talking and complaining about the one that we once were married with? How many of you have ever done that one before? I mean, these things happen in our lives that we have to learn to change the way we're thinking. The past is dead. Yesterday is dead. It can't come back. We can't bring it up. We can't resurrect it. We can't, You know, I used to say anything from my past that is no longer existent in my life, I clear my house from it. I take pictures down, and I just don't want to ever remember that ever again. I just cleared my one room of some pictures that I had on my wall over certain things that I was into. And yes, they may have been days of glory, you know, but then you know what? I said to myself, you know what? That chapter in my life is gone, done, over, and you know what? It's time to move on. So I went ahead and I cleared everything out of there, and I don't have to look at it. It don't have to be brought up into remembrance. I don't have to be trapped in a time where I would say, oh, or, you know, hey, everybody wants to look at the good, right? But there's always some bad to look at too. No matter which way you look at it, there's always some bad there. Some people may disagree with what I'm saying. That's fine. You have to work out your own salvation. You have to live your life out. And then you're going to have to be concerned about your future in the sense of how many laws are we breaking? Let's ask ourselves, how many laws in heaven are we breaking? We might not even know the laws. That's why God says, my children suffer or perish because of lack of knowledge or lack of understanding. And if you don't know the laws of the land and you run around doing whatever you want to do, and it, you're going to find out, wow, I didn't know that there was a law about that. I didn't know that I wasn't allowed to do that. And then you end up maybe getting a warning or something of that nature and let go. But how many warnings are we going to take? How many consequences are happening? How many lives are we affecting by our actions? Moving forward, I was speaking about how important it is to protect that pearl of peace. I was speaking about the importance of making sure or getting an awareness that you're a child of God. And I truly believe, because we're entering into a new age, I believe truly with all my heart that heaven is shifting. Some people might say it's the coming back of Jesus Christ. You know, Christ is the revelation of being a child of God. And so I want us to grab hold of what the Spirit is saying so that we're not left behind. Who really wants to be left behind? Who wants to trap themselves up? I want to be blessed. I want to have that protection in my life. I want to be blessed. I don't want any weapons of warfare to attack my life. How many feel the same way? How many people are literally tired of darkness coming against you to steal your peace, rob your joy, take things away from you that you love? Me too. And how to avoid these things is understanding the truth. There is a God who loves us, and there is a God who protects us, and there is a God who can't go against the law that is written in the heavenlies. There are certain things that we have to fall under. You know, there's a reason why certain things are held up in our life. Do you ever have a desire or a want, and you might even be involved with another person, but you just can't come to an agreement? And then there's division there. There could be a reason why. Because we might be under a curse. We may have broken a law that is conforming a place for us to dwell in that we may not want to be there. And we're trapped. Has anyone ever felt trapped or held back from anything? Okay. Well, I would have to say that there is a broken law or a curse that is in your life. Now, I'm going to say something. It's not bad, so to say, to have a curse in your life. Okay. It's bad to be aware of it and not do anything about it. Okay? We can't stop suffering. These sufferings are going to come. But we can learn from the sufferings so that they do stop. So, for example, if we have come under a curse, and I believe that we're all under a curse. We're all under a curse. It's called sin nature. We are born in sin. We are born under a curse. Okay? Why do you think we need God? So that we can be free from this curse. So that we can be free from this sin nature. So that we can become born again, free. We fight and we struggle. We mourn over things, and those things are attached by curse. Listen to what I have to say. Now remember, curses are only bad when you know that they exist, because for some reason they empower themselves. But when you're awakened and you see them, the best thing to do is to repent right away and change the way you're thinking so that those curses don't continue to affect your life. You're free from them. I'm going to try to clarify myself a little bit better, because it's important for us to break away and be free. What are we being broken away from? You know, what are the chains that set us in bondage? What do you call that? You know, the rude word is curse. Nobody wants to hear that you're cursed. I'm cursed. Oh, my God, I'm cursed. We've been walking around with balls and chains, you know, for many, many years. Don't even realize it. I want to set you free. I want to break some of them chains, break some of them shackles, open up some of them prison doors, and see some of the wounds that have been striped over you for all these years healed. Can't do anything with the scars. They toughen you up. But, you know, the open wounds, I can heal you. I can set you free. Only through knowledge, only through truth, only through the power of God. People are stuck in circumstances and they can't get out of them. And what happens is they end up dealing with it. They end up settling. They end up living that way and accepting it. When the reality is, that's not what you really wanted. How many people are following me where I'm going here? Okay? So, ask yourself, has there ever been something in your life that you surrendered to and accept it, but yet that wasn't really what you wanted? Okay, I want you to kind of see it. Because we're going to start breaking some curses. We're going to start breaking some curses. Now, it's up to you whether or not you want to change the way you're thinking. You might just completely say, nah. It's just because that's the way it is. Oh, really? Yeah, I'm just surrendering in the will of God. That's just the way it is. I'm going to tell you, no, it isn't. It's not the will of God. Because your heart, you have to understand, your heart is saying something and we're trying to listen to it. And then we gave up hopelessness, so to say. We gave into hopelessness and we settled. Well, I guess this is the way it is. I guess this is it. I guess I have to surrender to this will. I guess I have to surrender. Well, I want to take you higher. You know, this is a message that I would say to you if your will was radical and you just were emotionally out of control and you were kicking and screaming trying to get your way. I would say to you, hold up, settle down. You know, the will of God right now is for you to just accept the circumstance. Okay? It is what it is. Because you can't handle. I got to build on truth. I have to build on truth. And now I believe you're at the time in your life to start realizing that repentance sets the captives free. And if you had a spark of something, a spark of hope, a spark of a desire, a spark of love, a spark of need inside of you, that's originally God to begin with. So I look at it as it's God's will. Hear me out. And what happens is you can't seem to break away from the curse. It's almost like God saying, I'm sorry you broke a law and you can't have it. Until that curse is broken and you're free from that curse, then you're free from the law and now you can have it. How many want things in your life that you weren't able to have before? How many of us want some restoration in our lives, whether it's through relationships or careers or, you know? How many have settled in an income where in their heart they say, I know that there's more income there, but I just can't seem to achieve it. Has anyone ever reached that place in their heart? Okay. Now, I truly believe that what's in your heart to feel that there is more is the will of God. But you came under a curse. You broke a law. And it's not allowed you to go beyond. What has transpired and happened is we surrendered to it and accepted it. But we never came to that place of changing the way we're thinking to reverse the curse on our lives, to break away from that curse that has been set on us to keep us from not advancing into the desires of our heart, to keep us from achieving that maximum desire of our heart. How many people understand where I'm coming from? It's important to understand where I'm coming from. Okay? Are you sick and tired in certain areas of your life? Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Or you think that life is always a fight and a struggle? Well, it's not that way because I haven't fought hard enough, or I haven't struggled hard enough, or I haven't, you know, tried hard enough. That's a lie too. You know, God doesn't want us to strive. The battle belongs to God, and He doesn't want us to fight. He wants us to enter into His rest. You know, you look at the life of Jesus. Did He ever fight anything? You know, whether it was paying taxes to Caesar, He says, go down there and catch the first fish. You know, and then whenever you catch, you know, pay Caesar what is due Caesar. Did He ever struggle or fight for anything? He was a child of God. He was considered a son of God, a child of God. And this is why I truly believe the age that we're living in, the second coming of Christ, the realm that we're entering into is very, very important for us to become children of God. Very important. So that when things do start to happen around us, those outward manifestations around us is not going to affect your life. Because you're not in prison. You're not bound by chains. You're free. Did you understand what I said in the beginning? We are spirits. We are not people of nature. We are spirits. And that spirit needs to be born again into a spiritual world where God says, I will supply all your needs according to my riches and glory. Is there any doctrine manifesting in our life? Is there any truth manifesting in our life? Is God providing our needs, or do we still feel that we have to go out there and struggle and fight and try to obtain it? The only thing that I truly believe that we need to obtain is, for one, we need to create that character. Our attitude affects our future, and we have to change our attitude and change our character and allow these things to refine us. One thing is to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and place yourself in that category to where you just meditate on God constantly, where your mind is constantly, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? Where do you want me to go? But that's not it. There are patterns in our lives. There are habits in our lives that need to be broken. There are curses over our life that is giving legal right for the cankerworm and the locust to keep eating at. And I don't want to see this continuing to hurt those that are trying to come into the kingdom of God, those who are sincere about their relationship with God, those who are truly wanting to be having a new life. You know, it's one thing to live your life and, you know, say you have a relationship and pray. But when you don't get your way, are we quick to complain? Let's really look at this simple thing. How often do we complain? How often do we look at things and feel as though that we've been scorned or taken away from or deprived? How about when things aren't really going the way we really want them, and we put things on a timeline and we feel that it might be taking too long for something? What is our heart saying? We need to begin to realize these deep core roots of curses that we're under and we don't see them. And if we can begin to look deeper and see our heart manifest, we can be set free from curses. You know, just because you have good things going on in your life and you have a sense of prosperity going and, you know, things are starting to settle out and level out, doesn't mean that you're not under any curses. If you want some changes in your life, there are certain things I'm showing you where you can capture them, repent in your heart, let eternity work itself out, because there is no time in eternity. And if you release time in your life, this is a sign of entering into the kingdom of God. This is a sign of entering into eternity. Patience. Has anyone ever heard that word? Patience. When things aren't happening in the timeline that you would like, and you start to get troubled when it's not happening in the timeline that you want, I'm going to tell you right now, you're coming under a curse. Okay? I'm going to try to make things a little bit more clear so that you can begin to understand how simple we fall under curses, how easy we are ensnared in traps. So if you're waiting for something, I would highly recommend patiently waiting. And rejoice while you patiently wait, and give thanks and be glad, and just start thanking for the opportunity to be able to wait. If you don't start changing your heart in this area, you're going to fall under curses. And you might wait and wait and wait and wait. And God will cause you to break that curse out of your life, but maybe you might not ever. Maybe God will never break you out of it. And what I mean by breaking you out, maybe what I'm saying is, not maybe what I'm saying, what I'm saying is how God breaks you out of that curse is when you surrender it. When you are like, well, you know what? If it happens, it happens. If it don't, it don't. No big deal. Has anyone ever reached that point in their lives? Well, if it happens, it happens. If it don't, it don't. It's okay. And it's released. Well, that's what God supernaturally, you know what he did? He had that curse broken under you because you released it. You said, oh, if it happens, it happens. If it don't, it don't. See, God's love for us is so far beyond what we can comprehend or imagine. So great that we can't comprehend the love. And so God is working alongside of us and breaking curses off of us, even when we don't even realize it. When we have that strong will, I think Sam spoke about the will earlier. When we have that strong will is a curse, big time curse in our lives. That strong will tends to have bad attitudes, tends to think we deserve everything. I'm going to read something here, and I read it last week, and it's actually the Beatitudes. And I'm going to build on the Beatitudes. I believe truly in my heart that there's four elements of this message. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. My goal, my sole purpose in life right now is to lead people into the kingdom of heaven. To lead people, guide them to be transformed as a child of God so that they have an eternal life. You know, you can have eternal life now on earth. You can. You don't have to wait until you pass this life in order to have an eternal life. You can have an eternal life now. We're spiritual. So why not live in an eternal spirit life? One of the things is time. How many of us are caught up with time? I got to be here. Oh, it's this time. Oh, it's that time. It's okay to be structured in time. You know, you got a bedtime, so to say. But if you're not tired, what's your bedtime going to matter if you can't fall asleep? Yes, we have responsibilities like getting up and being at work at a certain time. Yes, and some things we have to follow time. But how much are we trapped with time? How often are we caught up just in time? Things are taking longer than it should. Really? Oh, this happened really fast. Really? You see, to live in the kingdom and to understand, we need to start taking some of the reality of life and know that we are led by the Spirit and guided by the Spirit. And time tends to fade away when you live and guide by the Spirit. I know that in my own life, where I'm tormented sometimes, where, you know, I may have a meeting or I have a certain place to go, and I have to make sure that blah, 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 I get things certain done, and I plan certain things in my head on how it's going to go. And as I look back, it never even happened that way. You know, I woke up at a certain time. I was tired. I ended up laying there for another 15 more minutes. I would say, oh, my goodness, I think I'm going to be late. And here, I didn't late. And I ended up being an hour and a half early anyhow. Time does not exist in the kingdom of God. So there are, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Being poor in spirit is a very big key to this next chapter in all of our lives. When I say God is changing the world we live in, He's changing the world that we're living in. And He's not only changing the world that we're living in, but He's wanting to change the people also. And so we need to change alongside of Him. If He gave us this poor in our lives where it's not necessary to be poor in spirit right now, then it wouldn't be a focus. But there's a reason why He's saying, poor in spirit. The other three are, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And the pure in heart is just how I'm leading you into. I'm leading you into poor in spirit. I'm leading you in pure in heart. I'm leading you into a peacemaker, because they shall be called sons of God. And leading you into a place where persecution, righteousness, when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake. You know, when people come and attack you for no reason at all, you'll be able to handle certain things and conduct yourself in a certain manner so that you stay in that kingdom. How many of us really truly understand and want to live in the kingdom? If you know darkness and understand darkness, has anyone ever felt spooked out and scared in the dark? It's not a good feeling sometimes when you're a little kid or what have you. You're like, or alone in the woods or something, and you're scared. Okay, well, darkness works that way in your life. And there's a point of where I don't want you to be afraid of darkness, but there's a point that I want you to be afraid of darkness. Because if you don't have any fear of anything, then that could be a problem. Like fear of death. That could be a problem. But I don't want you to have fear of death. I want you to have fear of darkness, but yet at the same time, I don't want you to have fear of darkness. I want you to have fear of God, but at the same time, I don't want you to have fear of God. I want you to understand that His hand is heavy, but at the same time, His hand is light. And He turns all things around for the good to those who love Him. So, let us not be ignorant in the spiritual sense of life. Let us embrace the truth of the Spirit so that we can live life free. And live life not only free, but understand why things are happening the way they're happening. Look, I truly believe the more revelation that God pours out on us, and the more we apply how to break curses in our lives, the more we're going to have our hearts fulfilled. We have a life that is inside of us. It's every passion, every desire, every want, every need, everything that is inside of you is of God. And that's the life that He gave you. But at the same time, curses are robbing those things. They're delaying them. They're holding them back. They're giving some people no hope. We're falling into robbery. We're falling into destruction. We're falling into thievery and things of that nature. I don't want any more of those things happening in my life. I want all of the heart's desires that are in me. I want all of my life fulfilled. And I truly believe with all my heart, the fulfillment of life is that ultimate place of eternity. And I want eternity. I want to leave this earth knowing that I am on my way to an eternal life, 100%. I don't want to go with one eye out. I don't want to go with one arm off. I want to go 100%. And I look at that 100% is how much was robbed from you. You see? How much is cursed? These things aren't going to enter into the heavens. The Bible's clear. It's better for you to pluck your eye out or cut off your arm and enter into the kingdom lame than to have these curses hanging on you. You see? Because it says if your arm or hand is causing you to sin, cut it off. And I look at sin as curse. Curses are sins. You know, it's sometimes it could be a play of words, however you want to word it. But we got to break away from them. We got to break off all the sin. We got to break off all the curses. We got to break these things off of us. And if we don't break them off, then we're going to walk around with confusion. Why are these things happening? Why do I feel let back? How come my heart's desires aren't being filled? What you're really saying is, how come I'm not living an eternal life? How come I'm not living the life that was given to me? I feel that I'm missing something. Well, if you feel that you're missing something, I'm going to tell you right now, you're not living the kingdom of God. Something is robbing. Something is stealing. Some curses are over you. And we want to be broken free. We want to be free. We want to be set free. We want to live that fullness, that life that God gave us. You know, what was stolen or robbed in our past? I'm going to tell you right now, if we come to that place of breaking that curse, renewing our minds, what was robbed will be restored and given back to us, so we won't miss anything. That's the main thing, to be filled. How many want to be filled? I want to be filled so much. I want to be filled and overflowing. I want to be so filled and overflowing so that I can flow into your life. Flow into your life. Flow into your life. I just want to flow into everyone's life. I feel like if you're not going to do the job, I'll do the job for you and I'll just flow over you. That's how much God loves us. You know, there's a tremendous amount of love that God has for us. And he embraces and puts people in our lives. And, you know, he'll never give us more than we can handle. And that's another key of God's love. So, because of time, I have to end. But I want us to all bow our heads for a moment. Because I know that some of this could be new to us. And we may have never heard it put this way before, that we were under these curses. We're under these small curses, big curses, medium curses, whatever it is. We're under curses. We're not getting the life fulfilled that is within us. We're being robbed. Things are robbing us. One of the things is we're not counting it all for joy. We're murmuring and we're complaining as these things are going. We're living in a time where in eternity there is no time, so we got to back off and we got to be patient. These are certain things that I need you to help me with. You need to stop complaining. You got to hold your tongue and stop murmuring. You got to stop looking at the past. You can't change things that you can't change. You can't change them. You're murmuring over something. You're complaining over something. You're sad over something that is gone. Your losses, they're gone. You got to let them go. Be patient. If you apply these in your life, let God start breaking the curses. Let God start healing you. If you show this, he is just and righteous to show you. And he will start dismissing curses in your life. I see curses. I look around and I see curses. I see poverty. I see curses. I see things that are in people's lives. I see relationships being robbed because of the fact that they're under a curse and they can't fulfill their relationships all the way. There's curses that are happening. We got to break these curses off. Now, I already went before the Lord. And I spoke to him and I said, Lord, I'm tired of seeing my people that you've given me, the sheep that you've given me. I don't pray for the whole world, but I pray for the ones that you sent me. And as I'm praying, I see curses in their lives, Lord, and I want you to break them. And he's like, well, you better preach my law. You better show them. Let them understand the truth so the truth will set them free. And I said, okay, Lord, I'll speak the truth. I will show them. But if you promise me this, if they begin to repent, can you do a fast work? can you begin to break these curses off of them so that they can see you? So that they can see the signs and wonders and miracles, so that they can see your love. Can you do a fast work so that they can glorify you and continue to spread the good news? Be a testimony. I want you to take a moment. And I want you to see something that is in your heart. It could be several things that you're not happy with. That there has been a delay. You almost gave up. God's saying, I don't want you to give up. Yes, it's nice to say, well, if it's your will, Lord, so be it. If not, so be it. God says, it is my will. I don't want you to give up. It's still going to happen. I want you to start speaking life, God says. I want you to start speaking life. Proclaim resurrection. Lord is saying, call forth the power of my spirit. And as you call, he will answer. He will empower you. God says, I'm an eternal God. Take time out of your life. I will move you. And I will move mountains. The Lord wants to bring understanding to us. And he's saying, for the things that I have called you to do, there is a tremendous amount of warfare over you. I need to win the battle. God is saying, I need you to help feed the glory angels so that you strengthen them and empower them to win this war. The power is in your rejoicing. Your power to give them is not leaning under your own understanding. Your power is patience. Enter my rest, says the Lord. And as you manifest, I want to call it spiritual food. You are empowering the angels of glory to fight this war that is over you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, Father, I ask that as you equip your people, that this armor that you're giving them doesn't become too heavy and they are so quick to lay it down. Give them the strength to continue to uphold your truth, to uphold your power and your glory, so that they can become overcomers of this spiritual battle that we're all in. Only you, Lord, can overcome. You have set laws in heaven. Have compassion and mercy on us. And set us free. The curses that are over our lives, I ask, Lord, that your grace and your mercy, because of lack of understanding, are forgiven and broken over our lives. Give us a second chance to prove our love to you, that we heard your word and we apply your word with grace and love. Show us yourself. Let us see you. I pray. Amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen. I want to thank all of you that knows that are listening, that are supporting and logging on. And please continue to log on, like Pastor Sam says. He listens to it over and over and he gets more and more of those nuggets. And even like today, hear what God is saying to us so that we can renew our hearts and renew our minds. If you think you're going to live this world in a nature of your reasonings and your thoughts, we were taught wrong. And we have to change the way we're thinking and begin to understand the battles that are over us and the warfare that is over us and the weapons of our warfare. And our weapons of our warfare definitely don't come through pride, and it doesn't come through where I can just start proclaiming, you know, scripture verses. The weapons of our warfare are rejoicing in areas that we don't want to rejoice in, taking persecution and those who persecute we pray for and love. Our weapons of our warfare are coming to that place of broken, being poor in spirit. I want to thank God for a testimony. John's daughter, we got report. Christine was diagnosed for lupus. Oh, hallelujah. She came here, received prayer, received spiritual instruction, not getting into it. She had an item that was given to her that this curse was attached to. And by the Spirit of God, it was revealed to her, and she burned it. And through removing this piece of object, we'll just call it, that was carrying curses, revealed by the Spirit of God, she destroyed it, and then through prayer, she was healed. Amen? Amen. She went to the doctor, And the doctor reevaluated her, and all signs of lupus is gone. Part of the signs was manifesting on her skin. And she had this rash or whatever that the doctor took skin grafts or whatever and diagnosed it as lupus. But thank God, because we serve a living God. You see? And not only through prayer, but through wisdom of the Spirit. And that's why I preach an important message. Even things in your home, you don't know what might be attached to it. You know, I love yard sales. But at this moment in my life, I'm like, Lord, is there anything on that before I buy it? I love receiving things from people. But I'm like, Lord, can you cleanse this or something, or do I take it? You know, share with me how I feel about this thing. There was a battle in Scripture where God said, go in and take the land. But he did say, don't take anything with you. Then what happened was, a couple of soldiers, we'll just call them, took some things, and God knew it. And he's like, who disobeyed? Who took these objects? There's plague or something happening. Who took them? And they had to confess. I have them here. And then God ended up giving them instructions on how to destroy it or whatever to heal their lands. How many have heard that before, that scripture verse before? Okay. Let's understand the world that we live in. Let's not take things for granted. You see, I know for myself, I had a book in my home. Cancer was attached to that book. I burnt the book. No longer cancer around. So let's not take these things as a common thing. I want to cleanse my life. I hope, as Sam said, you know, the pastor makes me jealous. I want that hunger and thirst after righteousness that he has. Well, I hope I make you jealous. I hope that you take what I say and apply it in your life. I hope that you have a hunger and a thirst after the righteousness of God. And go through your house. Go through your house. Go through your things. You know, memories are nice. You know, those things in the past are nice. But what's it doing to your heart? What's it doing to not only your heart, but what's it doing to other people in your household's heart? And do you care for their salvation? You could be causing some bad jojo to happen in their life. And it could be a generational curse. So he had to stop the mother from worshiping demonic things. And because of that, curses were in the village or house or whatever. We got to take these things serious. And I believe that everybody that's here, God is calling as leaders. It's not by accident that you're hearing the deeper things of God. Don't take it for granted. He wants to use you. There's people in your life. There's family, friends that are around you. And they're suffering. Not all of them can come through those doors. But God is using you guys to be aware of the Spirit. To be able to fight the battles in the Spirit. To be used as intercessors. Priest and priestess. In the kingdom. Who's going to fight spiritual warfare? Who's going to intercede for the people of the land? God has called you. You know, before you know this, up in heaven, the angels have chosen you already to sit in that seat where you're sitting right now. In heaven, God says, who's worthy to go and fight this fight, this spiritual warfare? Who's going to go? And the angels were up in heaven and said, you, You are worthy. Listen, we all suffer and we all have pain. But now it's time to take the truth and become intercessors. Now it's time to take the truth and fight the spiritual warfare that is around us. Sometimes we got to look at certain things and say, you know what? That thing that's around your neck, I'm sorry. Something about it, I don't quite know, but I think maybe you should just not wear it. How do you know it's not bringing a curse in that person's life? Where did they get it? Now, I don't want you to be poking around every bush looking for a devil, but at the same time, I want you to be spiritually aware of what God is saying in your heart and avoid these things. You know, some crazy stuff happened in my life, and it would be simple for me to walk away and ignore it. But I even went as far as, the phone rang yesterday, here's a quickie, and you know, I never really pick up that line, and I picked it up, and next thing you know, I hear this like evangelist preacher on the other end, and he was saying, I'm gonna prophesy in your life, and I'm gonna tell you all these things, and these things are, you know, you've been living a life like this, and my spirit was like, yeah, you know? And I was like, yeah, and I'm repeating. He's like, break that off. And I was like, yeah, I break that off now. And, you know, and I followed that whole call. And I'm like, yo, come in, listen to this, right? I put it on speaker. I said, this guy's prophesying over our life until it got to the end. You know, donate a seed into the, you know, And they were in, and I was like, you know, that's when I hung up. But I said, you know what? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for prophesying those things and breaking those curses and breaking off of this and breaking that stuff off. Listen, I could have just hung it right off. Dunk, hung it right up. God speaks through anything. God does anything. But if we're not spiritually minded and we just walk by these things, don't take things for granted, please. If your spirit's going ching, 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 there's a reason why it's going ching, ching, ching. If your spirit's jumping up for joy, there's a reason why it's jumping up for joy. Begin to become that spiritual person that God wants to raise up, you know, and live in the spirit and watch the miraculous. Watch the wonderful things. I look at John's daughter. You know, and lupus is a nasty thing to come under. But there's nothing too big for God. You see? And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful to testify. Not only was it prayer, but an object. I want to expand the minds and the hearts of His people to understand. And start changing the way we're thinking. You're prayer warriors. You're a prayer warrior. The intercessory prayer that is inside of you is unbelievable. We got to release the power that is inside of you. The awareness that you have is great. We have to release that and watch God save people around you, heal them, and deliver them. Here's another quick testimony to get you all excited. Yesterday, as some of you know, I release doves now for funerals and weddings and celebrations. So if you're having a funeral or a wedding, please call me. I'll do a dove release on behalf. But the wife of the person who passed away and the daughter, and they started walking out of the church, out of a Catholic church, and they started coming to me. And I touched the woman's hand who was the wife of the one who was deceased, and she literally fell out under the power of God. All of a sudden, all energy and strength came in, and her legs got weak, and she almost passed straight out. She couldn't even stand. I say, thank you, Lord, for the glory of God. Thank you, Lord, for the glory that has been placed around us so that you can touch and heal your people. Thank you, Lord. And then there was a message that was given, which was so wonderful, and it was out on the streets. And even the people at the end were saying, amen, not even related to the funeral or the service. God wants to use you. God wants to heal the land around you. God has called you and chose you to be.